America, America. This is Nate, this is Nate Smooth. Here it is, here it is. Let me lay it down for you. Check it out, check it out. Coming to you live for conservative talk and information for the warrior in you. We're all warriors in this warrior nation, fighting to keep our freedoms and constitutional rights. So never give up. Never give up the fight.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight the progressives.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight to keep our freedoms.
It's a warrior nation.
For you and me.
It's a warrior nation.
Protecting our liberties.
We're a warrior nation with no time to play. Join the Constitution in the American way. We're a warrior nation, both night and day. Fighting for our freedom, cause we're here to stay. Let's fight!
Good evening, warriors! And welcome to Warrior Nation with Julie Prince. I'm your host, Julie Prince. And I want to thank you for joining my revolution tonight, warriors. I want you to sit back, relax, grab a glass of your favorite wine, and enjoy some real conservative talk radio with me. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, warriors, you can find me on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday evening beginning at 7 p.m. You can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Reagan Warriors, and maybe on some of my columns on BuzzPo.com, ClassDaily.com, Ted Cruz 45 Facebook groups on Facebook, and ConservativeWarriors.com. Now, warriors, I want you to please make sure that you're going to check out the Ted Cruz 45 Facebook pages, my friends. That's Ted Cruz 45, and the 45 stands for 45th President of the United States of America. And they are the number one grassroots campaign right now going on for Ted Cruz on Facebook and Twitter. I believe we have somewhere around 21,000 people on there now that have joined, this grassroots campaign. And you can join the main group at Ted Cruz 45, and then you can sign up, actually, for your different state pages as well to show your support for Ted and to get the latest and the greatest news on our man, Ted Cruz. Now, they are a great bunch of patriots over there working hard every single day to help get Ted elected and spread the word. So I wanted to give a big shout-out to a couple of ladies over there. We have a woman named Morgan McCone and Deb Blankenship. And they work tirelessly for this group. And they're just amazing ladies. And I just want to thank you ladies for all that you do. And we just love you guys over there. So, warriors, make sure you check them out on Facebook. So, as we talked a little about last week, how detrimental it is that we elect a constitutional conservative as our next president. And, you know, it's really no secret at all who I support. Now, if you know me or you're a fan of the show or my columns, you know it's who I like to finally call Cruz the Crusher. So he's a constitutional conservative. He never wavers. He stands on principle and values, and he understands that he works for the people. Now, he says what he means, he does what he says, folks, and that's just, you know, a couple of the qualities that I admire about him. He absolutely loves our beautiful America, and it shows. It shows, warriors, it shows in his actions and in his patriotism. And a quality I spoke about last week as needing to be an absolute prerequisite for any candidate that's going to be running. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show here later. And you know, Obama hates our country. You know, I've come out and said this many, many times. He hates our country, and it's time to choose a candidate that recognizes that she is the shining city on a hill that she has always been. Now, I have a very exciting show for you today, Patriots, and a very exciting guest. Now, this guest is one of Ted Cruz's lead members of his finance committee. And I am proud to welcome to the show my friend, Neil Shanker Mehrotra.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for having me.
Hello, Neil. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today. And I love talking about Ted Cruz, and my listeners do too. So forgive me if I get a little giddy today during the show.
Same applies to me, I guess. No, I'm honored to be on the show. I know that you've had interviews with conservative icons like Dinesh D'Souza, and I'm humbled to be included in such company. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, Dinesh D'Souza, wonderful, wonderful patriot, as we all know. So let's start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you. You know, kind of what's your background, and why did you decide to get on board and support Ted Cruz for president?
So I have a very special corner in my heart for Ted Cruz because I was an investment banker on Wall Street, and in large part, my decision to change careers to go back and become a lawyer is motivated by Ted Cruz and his love for the Constitution and his record as Solicitor General of Texas. I've always followed constitutional law, and that inspired me to apply to law school, and then further, my choice to attend the University of Texas Law School is in large part to be close to Ted Cruz's campaign headquarters in Houston, Texas, and help him and do anything I can to get him elected as the 45th President of the United States.
Wow. I love that. I love that you moved there to be closer to Ted Cruz. But it's not so much surprising because the people that are backing him are extreme patriots. They have a very deep love for our country and for Ted and what he's trying to do, to help save our country and bring it back from basically the brink of destruction. So I believe, like, we the people are frustrated with what many see, as I said, the destruction of our beloved country. And Obama has done everything in his power to sort of undermine American exceptionalism. You know, basically from his apology tours, trying to fundamentally change America, as he said he wanted to do at the beginning of his campaign. And why do you think Americans are ready for Ted Cruz, and why do you think we need Ted Cruz?
So I think that's a very good question. And first thing I want to emphasize as I answer that is what you're saying is exactly right, why we need Ted Cruz. So I know that people like to focus on the way we are and the despair that the country is in now, and I'm an eternal optimist, and I believe in the American people, and I believe in American exceptionalism. And I know that Americans have the ability to make choices to correct our course. So I like to focus first and foremost on positively why Ted Cruz is the unique answer and not so much as an anti-candidate to Obama. And I think that's kind of what failed in the last few elections, as we were presenting kind of a false dichotomy to the people, where distinctions without a real difference. And when you give American people choices that don't actually restore power to the people to make decisions because candidates stand together on every issue, and you try to out-Democrat a Democrat, you're not going to win an election. So with that, I'd like to say the first thing that I think distinguishes Ted Cruz from every other candidate in the field is he's a man who's guided not by shallow perceptions, but by strong principles. And I think whether you agree with him on each particular individual policy issue, American people are going to respect a politician who is refreshingly different, who always stands and tells the truth, and does what he says he's going to do. And so going to that about why his policies and why we need him, is right now one of the greatest threats to our liberty in the United States is lawlessness. And Senator Cruz made the point the other night that even this is a point that's agreed upon from conservative to liberal circles, and it's not just President Obama's fault. President Bush also engaged in actions by executive fiat and lawless behavior, where we're not enforcing the rules as written, like with his immigration policy, which was very similar to President Obama's. And so this isn't a Democrat or Republican thing. This is a bipartisan endeavor where we've gotten ourselves in a situation where following the rules is not something that's taken for granted, and observing the Constitution and being faithful to it is not something that's being held in a day-to-day basis in Washington, D.C. So what you need is you need a disruptive force to that Washington insider mentality. You need somebody who is going to restore respect for the Constitution. And Ted Cruz has argued more cases in front of the Supreme Court than any other member of Congress. He still holds the record for youngest ever state-appointed Solicitor General in United States history, arguing his first case in front of the Supreme Court at age 32. But beyond that, let's look to his personal life. This is a man who's so dedicated to the Constitution. I saw a cute headline the other day that said, while other kids were playing baseball, Senator Cruz was reading the Federalist Papers. And yeah. If you even go back as far as his undergraduate thesis, when he had not even entered law school yet, it's called Clipping the Wings of Angels. It's available online. It's about the 10th Amendment and our constitutional history. This was a man who spent his life dedicated to the Constitution, has only recently entered the political sphere. So the first thing he's going to do is bring back respect for that Constitution. And I think that when you treat, you know, our rights like the barnyard animals in an Orwell novel, where some are more equal than others, you undermine the very structure of the Constitution. And that can't be taken seriously. And that, I think, is the number one reason above all why Ted Cruz is the unique answer and stands apart from the rest of the field.
Yes, he's definitely set himself apart. We're really hungering for, a constitutional conservative. You know, we had the John McCain, and then we got the Mitt Romney. And, you know, it didn't work. And I think it was just, you know, a large sliding scale downward from there with voters. You know, a lot of the conservatives stayed home. It's sad to say, but they stayed home. So we need a candidate that is not only going to unify conservatives, but ones that can also get people motivated again. And I think Ted Cruz is one of the most exciting, thrilling candidates we've had probably since Ronald Reagan. Now, I love some of the quotes that he comes out with. And one of my favorites is reignite the promise of America. Well, what do you think he means when he says he wants to reignite the promise of America?
That's an excellent question. And I think that I thought about that for a while when the campaign first unveiled that. And to me, what it means is to go back to what has defined American exceptionalism in the past, to go back to those free market principles, to go back to following the Constitution, following the rule of law, to living within our means, and an immigration policy which embraces legal immigration and which upholds rule of law to make America the melting pot, the diverse melting pot, which has been a beacon of freedom and free enterprise for the last few centuries. Ted Cruz made the point the other day that for the first time in four centuries of our country's history, this is the first time that parents don't believe that their children are going to have it better than they did. And that's very sad to me, and it's very disheartening, because that's what's defined America, is that optimism and that belief that we will endure, we will prosper, and in the long run, everything will be okay. And so when you talk about reigniting the promise of America, we haven't lost that. We have a democracy where when the pendulum slips too far left, or when the pendulum slips too far to a certain direction, we can correct course. And Ted Cruz constantly likes to make this point that right now the times we're in are very much like the late 70s. We're facing the same fiscal issues, weak, stagnant economy, a leader in the White House who undermines the American exceptionalism in the world stage. And what we need is a Ronald Reagan, and that we have that. We have a Ted Cruz who I actually believe, in my humble opinion, will be an even better president than Ronald Reagan. And that is the hope that we have to reignite that promise of America. And that I love that imagery, because each of us as a citizen has that power to light that spark. And to tell one other person about Ted Cruz, and that person can tell one other person about Ted Cruz. And through that way of paying it forward, we can reignite the promise of America. And the other point that I'd like to make about that, you know, Julia, is that you said conservatives are staying home, right? And that's true. That's true. And but the one other thing I'd like to say about Ted Cruz is it's not just about conservatives or liberals or libertarians. I like to say Ted Cruz is about constitutional common sense. So we've gone so far away from this, you know, in our legal philosophies with the Supreme Court upholding previously upheld incorrectly decided decisions under the rule stare decisis, let the decision stand as it is, because they're so afraid of standing for something, so afraid of being bold and going back to what the Constitution actually guides us to do. And so it's not about liberals and conservatives. It's about constitutional common sense. And in that sense, Ted Cruz is a guy who's not going to overstep his bounds of executive power, because his abiding love for the Constitution is so great that, you know, if Congress and the other branches of government are not going to agree with Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz is going to persuade them. He's going to go to the people and make his case. And I think he's going to make his case, and it's going to be heard because the people stand with him. The people stand with what Ted Cruz believes. It's just that the Washington insiders don't. But in the case that the elected officials, you know, have a different vision, Ted Cruz is not going to unconstitutionally overstep his bounds. And I think that's something that you ought to respect coming from the culture that we're in now, where the leader is able to – leaders of our country, as a bipartisan ever across the Bush and the Obama presidency, have consistently prioritized political expediency over rule of law. And I think that's something that we got to restore that precedent for abiding by rule of law and respecting limits on power, because that impact is going to be felt way beyond a Cruz presidency. You know, when George Washington first ran for president of this country, there was no constitutional amendment to say presidents can only run two terms. But because Washington did it, the next several people followed, because that was the father of our country. And so when a president does something like that to restore that respect for law, and that will have an impact that goes many generations beyond the Ted Cruz presidency. That's one of the reasons we need him.
Yes, and another one on that note, you know, every time it's the Constitution, that's the way it should be. And his another quote by him is, the touchstone for every question is the Constitution for him. So I think that absolutely speaks volumes. And, you know, something that kind of irks me a little bit is that, you know, watching some of the interviews that Ted Cruz has had, especially a recent one on Fox News, when he was asked, does he feel that he's too conservative? Basically, that's saying, is he too far right for the moderates, is what they really are trying to say, the establishment Republican type. So many on the progressive left and even within the Republican Party think freedom and following the Constitution is a far right-wing ideal. When
you know,
it's
Julie,
really going off of – go ahead.
No, it's exactly it bothers me when people say that, because – there's two points on that. The first is that, factually speaking, being too far right or too far left is a little bit of a misnomer, because right now, and Senator Cruz has said this, he said that the greatest divide right now in our country is not between the Democrats and the Republicans, not between the left and the right. It's between the entrenched insiders, the Washington insiders, and the people. So
yeah, the career
politician. Who wants to, exactly. And somebody who wants, like Ted Cruz does, he wants to support term limits on Congress and lifetime lobbying bans after members are out of Congress, is going to be an unpopular figure in those circles. And what they've done is they've cast this caricature of him as you know, a guy who's crazy or who's going to have dynamite strapped to his chest and is going to be an unstable force. They're right about one thing. He is going to be a disruptive force, and that's for the better. And the analogy for that is, you know, when you have when you have Uber, it's disrupting the taxi cab companies, and they're going to fight back. They're going to lobby against him. And that's what Ted Cruz is to the way our Congress is functioning now. He wants to take the power back from out of the smoke-filled rooms where we can't see what's going on and bring it back to the people where we know what's happening. And so I think that following the Constitution and living within our means are principles that everybody – these are things that are going to bring us together, not divide us. And that's what Ted Cruz stands for. So it's a misnomer to say he's too far right. But secondly, even if you look at his voting record – within the Congress, he has voted with the Republican Party somewhere along 83% of the time. So it's not that he's absolutely, you know, an iconoclast and is only going to go on his own. It's that 17% of the time he realizes when these people are just compromising their principles, like with executive amnesty, and they're not opposing Loretta Lynch, and they're going along with some of these Obama initiatives when they're not repealing Obamacare,
when they're allowing things
to happen. And that, to me, is the biggest problem with the Republican Party. It's that the mentality in the establishment GOP has become let them fail first. And that's why you see very little change between when the Republican majority took hold. Because let them fail first is not an inspiring leadership philosophy. You know, and Ted Cruz rejects that, and he kind of thinks, in my opinion, along the lines of Martin Luther King, what he said was, the time is right to always do what is right. Lyndon B. President Johnson, with all due respect, I'm not going to wait to get voting rights for the African-American people. I'm not going to wait till it's politically expedient for you. Ted Cruz has the same mentality. I'm not going to wait to defund Obamacare. The American people are over 65% against this. They don't like it. Washington likes Obamacare. The American people don't like Obamacare. Now, why should I wait to go against something that the American people don't want till after an election and let the other party fail first? Instead, the time is always right to do the right thing. And that, to me, is what defines Ted Cruz, but distinguishes him from the establishment mentality. And by the way, that's also what's going to inspire the millennial generation. One of the candidates that inspired the millennial generation the most was Ron Paul. And the reason for that is because he stood for something, and he had a bold vision. And young people respect that. And a lot of them are jaded right now because in their lifetime, they don't remember Reagan. I don't remember Reagan. I'm a student of history, so I know what Reagan has done. But when we don't even have that memory of Ronald Reagan, when all we've seen is these established politicians who go for themselves, do what's for themselves rather than populism. And they can't put politics before populism, as Senator Cruz can. They can't put populism before politics, as Senator Cruz does. Then they're going to be jaded. And so we need someone to inspire them.
Now, I think there are basically, there's several subjects that, in my opinion, I consider them to be kind of a non-negotiable subject where we can't compromise. And that includes, securing our borders and illegals, Common Core, Obamacare, which some Republicans have supported with Medicaid expansion, including my own governor, who is a Republican, John Kasich, who's rumored to maybe be jumping in the race as well. Fiscal responsibility, job creation, so our millennials aren't scared to death to take on debt and actually go to college and get an education. Every single candidate but Ted Cruz has flip-flopped on one or more of these issues, and their records are out there, folks.
Absolutely.
It's not hard to see where they stand on issues or was before they were against it. So one trait I feel, Neil, a candidate must have to be president of the United States is someone who stands on principle, somebody who does not flip-flop, somebody who, means what he says and does what he says he's going to do. What's your take on all these other candidates coming out, in regards to, say, even illegal immigration? Rubio was for it before he was against it.
And I think that the problem is very clear and simple. And the problem is that people want to be liked at the end of the day, and they want to be liked by the Washington insiders because they're going to get endorsements and money so that they can be elected. And Ted Cruz kind of stands apart from that because his philosophy, the time is always right to do what is right, and standing for principle, is unique. Although it shouldn't be, it's unique in D.C. at this time. First of all, let's talk about compromise, what that means, and the issues that you just brought up. So on Common Core, on amnesty, on fiscal responsibility, these are not things that the Republicans should compromise on. They represent a defining vision of the role of government in our lives and how that should be structured. And if you tell me that you're going to support Common Core, you're supporting something that's a federalization of the education system, which if you're a federalist and you've studied the Constitution, you understand that states are laboratories of democracy. And Ted Cruz understands that. And it's not that other Republicans perhaps don't. It's that many of them want to do something to appeal to the other side. There's always this desire. Let me appeal to the other side. Let me appease. Now, when you do that, you please nobody. And not only do you not get the desired outcome, you lose an election, but you also compromise your principles. And when you compromise your principles, the people lose respect for what those principles are. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't compromise on certain policies. That doesn't mean. So you talk, for example, fiscal responsibility. We can talk about what a marginal tax rate should be. You know, we can talk about how the tax should be structured. And those are things that, you know, there can be some compromises on here and there. But what we can't compromise on is we have to reduce our spending. And anybody who says that we have to increase our spending or increase the role of government in our lives is misguided. And I think that that's not something that we ought to compromise on. And Ted Cruz stands apart from the Republicans on an issue like amnesty because all the other Republicans are doing something to try to capture a demographic. They think that by proposing amnesty, what they're going to do is win the Hispanic vote and thus win the election, and because they point to George W. Bush and they point to how he got, you know, 40% of that demographic and how Mitt Romney failed in that demographic because he was against amnesty. And they want to appease. And I think you've seen Rand Paul do this. I think you've seen Scott Walker do this. You've seen Marco Rubio do this. And they're all great candidates and good guys. But what you need in a president is someone who's not going to sway with the wind, not going to go with whatever way, you know, the direction the wind is blowing, somebody who stands for something and who believes in what they stand for and is not going to compromise on their core principles. Now, Senator Cruz has successfully worked across the aisle several times, including supporting a bill that liberal senator from New York, Kristen Gillibrand, sponsored because it made sense to him. So there's a big difference. It's a distinction with an important difference to not compromise on individual policy or to always vote with the party because your party may not be necessarily right on something, and to compromise on the core principles of the role of government in our everyday lives. And I think Ted Cruz really stands apart in that matter, and I think the American people at the end of the day will appreciate that. Because I think what these politicians don't calculate for is that American people are going to respect someone who stands for what they believe for and is unwavering in those principles and actually believes what they say. That's a more inspiring leader, including the millennial generation and every other generation and demographic, than somebody who's just trying to get elected and stay elected. People have a disdain for that. They're tired of that.
I agree. Yeah, they're tired of that. It's time for a new direction. And, you know, one trait I really feel in my heart a candidate must possess to be president of the United States, and that's a patriotism. They must have a deep-rooted love for our country and actually show it. And I love the fact that he loves our country and obviously the great state of Texas. And he shows it, you know, from simply going into his office and seeing what's on display in his office to the way he talks about America and the way he speaks about our veterans. And one of my favorite photos of him, and you have probably seen this, you know, circulating, is one of him standing on the sidewalk and he's holding and waving a giant American flag and waving it. And, you know, I just hear, like, you know, the Star Spangled Banner in the background or something. Every single time I see that photograph, I love that photograph so much. And to me, that says a lot. That says it all. And you would never see Obama doing that. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever even seen any other Republicans doing that. And another photo. Yeah, I mean, you know, the patriotism is there. And I know you and I talked about a photo that is very it's very endearing. And that was the one photo of him and his dad, Rafael Cruz. It must have been in a rally or something. You know which one I'm talking about, where he's hugging his dad? And I look at that photo
exactly,
and I'm like, I'm dying over this photo because it's so lovely. And I think Rafael Cruz has had a very strong influence on his son. You know, he was from Cuba, a refugee who understood oppression, escaping oppression. And, you know, one of the quotes from his father was, if we lose freedom here, meaning here in America, where do we go? So
yeah.
I think it's very, those words are very strong, very poignant, especially right now. And I think Raphael having such a great influence on his son, this is the way that Ted Cruz was raised, to have that respect and to have that love for our country that I think is so needed in a candidate.
I absolutely agree with you, and I think there's a few points that you touched on there that are worth bringing up. That image that you're talking about when his dad is hugging him, first of all, it shows how close he is to his father, which is always a healthy thing, and it shows respect for where you came from and the values that you had and upbringing from. And Ted Cruz
yeah.
specifically understands how important liberty is because of his upbringing, because his father fled Castro in Cuba, right?
Yeah.
And he was in a jail cell, and he was almost beaten to death in that jail cell. And he came to the United States with $100 sewn into his underwear, and he started his family. And that's the beautiful thing about America, and that his son now is about to become president of the United States. There's something special, inspiring to be said about that. And his father's also a pastor, you know, and his family's not had a dynastic political involvement. He wasn't born with the last name Bush or Clinton, and he has earned his stripes through the meritocracy and the opportunity that the American system represents. So if you think that you can't get ahead by being smart, intelligent, and principled, look at Ted Cruz. And that's also something that's inspiring about Ted Cruz, is that populism. Because you're talking about an average guy, you know, who's about to become president of the United States. And that, to me, is going to resonate a lot more with the American people than somebody who comes from a political dynasty and who was groomed from an early age to be president. And that's something that's unique to America. Nowhere else on earth do people have that opportunity, that mobility to achieve. And the second thing I'd like to say about that is that in terms of Obama and President Obama and loving America, I think you have it one or two ways. You either believe that President Obama is not, you know, as smart as people make him out to be and that he doesn't understand how to restore America's role in the world, or you believe that he doesn't have the sincere and genuine love for America. And personally speaking, I'm more in the second camp than the first, and the reasons for that are because I think President Obama is a very bright guy. You know, if you talk to his professor at Harvard Law School, he went to Harvard Law School, he did well there. So I think he's intellectually very sharp. I think the thing is that his goals for America are different. If you look at the language he uses, he says, I want to fundamentally transform America. And Bill O'Reilly asked him a very good question last year in the Super Bowl interview halftime show. He said, President Obama, why do you want to fundamentally transform a country that has given you so much opportunity and allowed you to become president from humble origins? And President Obama kind of went around the answer in a circuitous manner, but he didn't have a good answer to that. And that, to me, shows somebody who says, I want to fundamentally transform you, is not somebody who loves you. People who love you, accept your flaws, and try to improve on those flaws, try to restore your greatness and inspire the best in you as a person. People
right.
who love America
right.
understand, you know, America is not perfect and she's made her mistakes, but they love her and they want to improve her and they want to fix those mistakes and correct our course. They don't say, I want to fundamentally transform America. They believe that fundamentally America is a special country and they love her. And that, to me, sets Ted Cruz apart from President Obama. And also, you know, many people in both parties, because that, again, love for America is not a Republican or a Democratic ideal. It's a personal value. And Ted
Absolutely.
Cruz stands for it. And I think that's inspiring, and it's very, very important to, at the end of the day, have a president who's motivated by a deep and abiding love for America. And I think Ted Cruz loves America like he loves his family, like he loves Heidi, like he loves his daughters, like he loves his father. And I think his upbringing played a big role in those values. Because when your father tells you how he fled Cuba and how he came here from that oppression, you have a love for liberty from an early age. And that's how Ted Cruz developed into the man he is today.
Yeah, and I truly think that when you talk about Obama, his upbringing was significantly different. You know, with his father, and obviously we know lots of things about his mother. I think he was brought up, you know, with communism. We know this. And I think there was a lot of anger instilled in him from a very young age. And not just that, but even as he got older and the people he chose to be around and be exposed to were extremists, but they were not just progressive, but they were communists and socialists. And he came from the school of Saul Alinsky, for right. goodness sakes. And so his ideology, even in his way of thinking, I think he was bred to hate America. I'm going to say that because I believe in my heart he hates this country, and he wanted to fundamentally change it and use the skills that he actually learned from Saul Alinsky and apply those as being a massive community organizer, and use the Saul Alinsky tactics to literally change and take down America from the inside out. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is,
so first,
you know, a lot of research, you know, based on fact.
First, I'd like to say that I think that I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but I'd like to first say that I think that, and Ted Cruz would probably, I think, agree with me on this, is I'm more concerned with where Obama's taking us and where he came from. In my opinion, where he's taking us
right.
is, you know, full speed into a brick wall. So his origins don't concern me as much as where he's taking us, but I do think he captured a critical point, which is that our origins shape and define who we are to a certain
Correct.
Degree, to a very large extent. And that influence is concerning, but I don't think that defines what's failed about Obama's leadership. But what I do think is a little bit alarming about it is that President Obama, as recently as 1995, was talking about this. He gave a speech during when he was selling his book, and this is online. It's very easy to find. And during the speech, you'll see him say things like, you know, that he believes that, you know, all whites are inherently and in some way racist, and he talks about these views. And when you talk about those views, and then you become president 13 years later, that's no longer your boyhood. That's who you've become as an adult. You know, I myself don't necessarily come from what you would call a Ted Cruz family. You know, my family was not necessarily politically involved. And in 08, I believe they actually voted for Obama. And so I don't think that where you come from necessarily defines who you are. And I think, you know, my parents are intellectual people, and I've got them on the Ted Cruz camp. And in 2012, they voted for Romney because they're willing to hear the arguments and they're willing to hear the truth. But I think it's alarming where you have those origins, and then so many years later, just 13 years before you become president, you're still saying things like that. And again, it all goes back to that rhetoric of fundamentally transforming. When you love somebody, when you love a country, you don't try to fundamentally transform them. A large part of loving is accepting somebody. And if you can't accept somebody, you can't love them. If you can't accept America, you can't love her. And I think that President Obama has shown time and time again that his agenda is driven by restructuring America. And restructuring it in a way to diversify it. I think that he wants to diversify America. He wants to make it more equal. He wants to change it. But what you notice is missing from that is he doesn't want to make it more great. He wants to change it, but he doesn't want to make it a stronger force in the world. He doesn't want to make it necessarily more prosperous as an aggregate. Those aren't his goals. His goals aren't more prosperity as an aggregate or to make America stronger in the world. His goals are to make people more equal. And when I say make, I mean force equality through fiat and force demographic diversity and force acceptance of his values for how we think America should be structured. And I think that's fundamentally the wrong way of looking at it.
Absolutely. And I think to understand Obama, at the very least, you need to understand where he's going, you got to understand where this man has been. So that's
Absolutely.
And hence why I bring up, you know, the Saul Alinsky factor and being raised by communist grandparents and such. But let's shift gears here for a moment. I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit, Neil, about who you think. Okay, this is sheer opinion now, in your opinion maybe, Who do you think the dream team would be? Who is your favorite dream team? I'll tell you who my favorite dream team is for Cruz actually thinking about picking a vice president. And my dream team is Cruz and Lee. Okay, Mike Lee would be my first choice. Now, I have a second and a third choice also, if it couldn't be Mike Lee. My second choice would be, and they're kind of equal, I think, for different reasons, but Cruz West, which Cruz Allen West, and a Cruz Paul, believe it or not, Rand Paul. What do you think? What do you think about my choices?
First of all, I'll preface it by saying it's a little bit like, and I'm guilty of doing this too, is like talking about the kids on the first date, which is probably why first dates don't go very well for me. But, I understand where you're coming from. And I think in my humble opinion, I think Mike Lee I would probably concur with you on that principle. Because when I say so much of what I've talked about in this show so far about standing for principle and constitutional fidelity and training as an elite lawyer and studying the Constitution to actually uphold it rather than circumvent it, a lot of that can apply to Mike Lee as well. And Mike Lee was Senator Cruz's mentor in many ways when he brought him into the Senate, because Mike Lee also never had the elected office, and then told Senator Cruz, yes, it's possible for you to win the Senate office, and mentored him and helped him along. So I think people in the Cruz camp, first of all, have a very special corner in their heart for Mike Lee. And I think that he also upholds so much of what Ted Cruz represents. And what you want as a vice president is fundamentally someone, if, God forbid, anything were to happen to the president, could step in and there would be a seamless transition, and they could continue to lead with the same competent manner that the president that you had could do. And I think nobody is better suited to do that than Mike Lee. So I personally concur with you on that point. And I, to be completely honest with you, I'm not familiar enough with Allen West to have an opinion about Allen West as a vice presidential candidate, but I do know that he has military experience, and he's a devout conservative. And I think another person to consider, as well as Rand Paul, is Bobby Jindal. I think he was on the short list of vice presidential candidates, I believe, for John McCain and Mitt Romney, and he's a devout conservative. Understands the Constitution, and he's razor smart, whip smart.
Yeah,
I believe he chose between Oxford, Harvard Medical School, and Yale Law School when he was deciding about his education. And he's had a track record in Louisiana to prove his conservative principles work.
Yeah, and he's very boisterous too. He's boisterous. I love that he comes out and you know, I admire when people come out and they say what they mean and they do what they're going to say. That's
absolutely
huge to me, because Ronald Reagan possessed that. He possessed that trait. And all of these gentlemen, you know, Paul, I'm going to be honest, I have a love-hate relationship with Rand Paul. I think he's a good guy. He's got a few things that I would change a little bit, but they're all very strong candidates, and Rand Paul, I think, would be able to pull out that millennial vote. A lot of millennials love him. Obviously, winning the CPAC straw poll, I think 3 years in a row. So he's able to pull out that younger person's vote. If you're looking at strategy here, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Rand Paul is very, you know, Senator Paul is very strong candidate, and I think recently he's said some things, I think, in an attempt to try to position himself for the general election and be strategic. I think in doing so, he probably wishes he could take back some of those things. But at the end of the day, he is somebody who stood for liberty. He is somebody who has also stood for principle and have solid, strong principles. So I think him and Senator Cruz are very strong. Let me also take this as an opportunity, or very strong friends, very close friends is what I was getting at, to say that Ted Cruz's class, when he deals with the media or when he welcomes candidates to the race, is something to be noted. A typical one-line statement, throwaway statement, you know, I welcome Rand Paul to the race, I look forward to a spirited competition. That's not what you get from Ted Cruz. What you get is a heartfelt statement to his friend. He actually said that, I welcome Rand Paul to the race, he's going to raise the bar for all of us, and make sure that whoever becomes the nominee is better prepared to beat Hillary Clinton And that kind of class and poise and,
oh,
and genuine.
Oh, classy. So classy.
Yes, it is. That's what you need in a leader.
Right. And he's keeping it a clean fight, too, as far as, hey, you know what? Everybody's record is out there. You know, we can see it. You know, we the people are watching, and we have been taking note of where, Rand Paul flip-flopped, where Rubio has flip-flopped. You know, everybody, we know, and that's fair game. But he is a classy guy. He's going to keep it, very nice, and I like that about him, and that speaks volumes of him. It really, really does.
It does.
And
it does speak volumes of him, and absolutely.
It does. It does. He's a class act all the way. And so I'm going to switch gears again on you here real quick because I want to make sure that we get all of this in before we run out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I could talk about Ted Cruz with you from now until tomorrow, but I understand that we do have a program.
I know, I can too, and I'm so excited. I mean, I'll just take this second to say, like, this is a dream. This is a dream, and I've been talking about Ted Cruz on the show for a really long time, 2 years, and I couldn't wait for the moment that he was going to announce. It was an amazing day when he did. I teared up because I know that God is guiding this. I don't care who's, you know, thinks I'm crazy for saying that, but God is guiding this, and he's got God on his side, and he's going to win, and he's just brilliant, and he makes my soul happy, and he's just amazing.
I like how you
told it to me
earlier, Julie, and I hope I don't put you on the spot, but I like what you said about him, and I think it captures how I feel about him well, because he makes my spirit shine, I truly do feel that way as well.
True.
So. But anyways, you wanted to change gears to another topic
before
you get carried away.
You know, we could talk about him for hours and hours, but something that's very important, Warriors, that you need to understand is that Ted needs us right now, okay? He needs us desperately right now, and he's going to need our time, which let's make no mistake about this. When you go to volunteer for a presidential campaign, it's a lot of work, and time is money. And that's a very, very important thing to do is to go make those phone calls, go door to door. Even something as simple as putting a yard sign up, slapping a bumper sticker on your car, wearing a Ted Cruz T-shirt. Every little bit helps. The other side of it is obviously what I'm about to talk about is the financial side of things. And Ted has been extremely successful in fundraising thus far. A very, very impressive $31 million in the first week, which speaks volumes coming from the street warriors and the patriots out there who want to bring our country back, who love their country in their heart and their soul and every fiber of their being. So it's not only important to volunteer your time for Canada, but it is very important to give your money as well. And today on the show, Neil, I want to announce, I've already given $200 to his campaign,
well,
but today, I'm going to pledge $1,000 today to Ted Cruz's campaign. I will probably max out on my donation, but today I wanted to give $1,000, Warriors, I can do without. Those dinners out or going to the movies or whatever it is, whatever it's going to take to max out my donation, I'm going to do because I believe in Ted Cruz.
I think that's so awesome. And thank you so much for your contribution and your support. And I think that that's one of the things Senator Cruz has going for him is he's got people behind him that would give him the shirt off their backs. And
absolutely.
That's how strongly people want him to get elected. When you look at some of the other candidates, I think a poll came out about Jeb Bush, and it said most of his supporters are only somewhat enthusiastic about him, and there couldn't be a greater contradistinction to that than Ted Cruz, where his supporters are so enthusiastic and willing to compromise and devote resources and time to him. That being said, his fundraising has been very strong so far. But this is turning into a big money race very, very quickly. You saw Marco Rubio, there's alleged allegations of him raising $40 million as well during his first week, even surpassing the record total that Senator Cruz had amassed. And soon we're going to have head-to-head numbers between him and other candidates in the race. Now, individual contributions, the maximum is $5,400, and for a couple, it's $10,800. Now, obviously, I know that not everyone can give that, and not everyone is in a position to give that. But whatever you can give, if you can get $5, if you can get $10, you know, if you're a college student, if you're young, and it's a pizza to you, you know, every little bit helps. And I want to mention that Ted Cruz has 1.2 million followers. I think last time I checked, 1.2 million followers or so on Facebook. Now, let's just put this together. If each one of them donated maybe $50 over the course of this election cycle, Ted Cruz would get to where he needs to be without any issues. And I don't think there are any issues. I think his fundraising has been strong, but we want to continue. We want to continue to favor the man that we believe should be the next president and do everything we can. We don't want to have any regrets, leave anything on the table. We want to give it everything we can. And so to that extent, I would encourage folks to maybe even set up a little bit of a recurring donation. So every 2 weeks you get your paycheck. Set up an automated thing, transfer payment, that gives Ted Cruz $10 every 2 weeks. And through these efforts together, we as courageous conservatives can get this man elected.
Absolutely, and it's so extremely important, Warriors. And, you know, I understand. You know, I've got a child getting ready to go to college. She is going to Ohio State, very proud of my daughter. She's actually going into sciences. And thank you. She's going to be a biologist. Her name is Hannah, and she is an amazing kid. And she's amazing. And so, you know, I've got a child getting ready to go off to college. And let me tell you something. College is not cheap, okay? College is not cheap. And I do not want my – I mean, I honestly, I don't – I mean, just going through and talking to the administrators and everything, you know, from books to meal plans to, you know, the courses to her entertainment, I want my daughter to be able to come out of college debt-free because – that is one of the top issues my child's worried about. And, you know, my son also is 14. And, you know, I'm explaining to him, he's going into the ninth grade, about how, you know, important it is to get the good grades and keep them up, which they do, and take these tests, which I actually, it's funny because I took him out of the PARC test, which is basically a Common Core test. So I'm a proud mama today. He's not taking the PARC test. Yeah, I had to put that in there. But anyways, Warriors, my point of the matter is we all have extreme expenses in our lives. And with today, you know, our economy and life and kids and all of that, it's now or never. You know, as Neil said, Ted Cruz thinks and feels there's no better time than right now to be a conservative and to utilize the Constitution and to make change. This, in my heart, and I've talked about this a lot with you, Warriors, as I totally believe this might be our last chance. And, you know, if Hillary Clinton, God forbid, she's a crook, she's a liar, if God forbid she gets in there, it will complete what Obama began. She is also a Saul Alinsky type. Well, she's a Saul Alinsky disciple as well. So it's now or never. And I believe that Cruz is actually going to save our GOP. I do. We need to save our party from within. And I believe in Ted Cruz with every fiber of my being. If I didn't, I could take that $1,000 and I could put it toward my kids' college education. But the
We really appreciate that financial contribution and your continued support. And I'd like to just build upon your clarion call to support Senator Cruz and save America and reignite the promise of America. So I'm going to share with folks, with listeners, a way to donate money. And
absolutely. Please let us know where they can donate and find you. Okay.
Absolutely. So if folks have a pen and paper handy, or perhaps they can play it back later, the link to use is donate.tedcruz.org/c/FDNY005. And the method of writing a check, if folks prefer to write a check, is to write a check to Cruz for President and to make it out to P.O. Box 25384 in Houston, Texas, area code 77625, and then the memo line of the check, they could write SBNY0005. That would be great. So thank you for allowing
well,
me to put that message out to your listeners.
That's wonderful, and I think you're going to get, you know, a large response with that. And, you know, Neil, I know you work really, really hard for Senator Cruz, and he is one lucky man to have you on his team, Neil. You are dedicated. You are a patriot. You have a love for our country, and I want to thank you, Neil, not only for being on the show today, but for working so hard for our beloved, listen to me, I'm going to say our beloved Ted Cruz, because I love the guy. I do. I really, truly do, and I believe in him and with every fiber of my being, so I want to thank you for working so tirelessly and giving of yourself to Ted Cruz, because it's a really big deal, Warriors. It's a really big deal. So, Neil, I want to thank you once again for being on the show, and we'll have Neil back again, Warriors, and we'll kind of get an update from him maybe in a few weeks and see where we are with the campaign and see where we are with Ted Cruz. So, Neil, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And
Julie, thanks a lot for having me, and I really, really appreciate your kind words and right back at you. And I really look forward to working with you to get him elected. And then celebrating with
you
on January 20th, 2017.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I do too, Neil. So, Warriors, I'm so sorry we are out of time, but we'll see you next week. And see you on the flip side, Warriors. Good night and God bless.
God bless.
America, America, America. This is Nate. This is Nate. Here it is. Here it is. And let me lay it down for you. Check it out. Check it out. Coming to you live for conservative talk and information for the warrior in you. We're all warriors in this warrior nation, fighting to keep our freedoms and constitutional rights. So never give up. Never give up the fight.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight the progressives.
It's a warrior nation.
Fight to keep our freedoms.
It's a warrior nation.
For you and me.
It's a warrior nation.
Protecting our liberties.
We're a warrior nation with no time to play. Join the Constitution, it's the American way. We're a warrior nation, both night and day. Fighting for our freedom, cause we're here to stay. Let's fight!